We've been at base camp, which we're calling a place where we're preparing for a journey. So we're all going on a journey together, and we're going to do that in a systematic way. In other words, we're going to start at the beginning and follow the map all the way through. And that journey is really discovering how we can engage in the spiritual realms. And that means in us, God's presence in us, and in the realms where he is in heaven. And we're going to follow two pathways. Pathway of relationship, which leads to a deeper intimacy with God. That flows from the inside out of us. We're connected to heaven. That flows through the gateways of our spirit, soul, and body to the world around us. And the pathway of responsibility, because we're called as sons of God, that leads to greater kingdom rulership. And that flows when we go from here into heaven and engage in the realms of heaven. Now, on this journey at base camp, we're going to look at how we build our spirit. But I want to encourage you to see that there's a lot more resources available than just what I'm going to bring on a Sunday. Because I can only speak for half an hour or so on a Sunday, but there's probably 3-4 years worth of teaching available that leads up to this. And so I'm hoping this is going to actually work technology-wise. So on here, there's some hyperlinks to some resources that are available. And they'll open up. And we have a blog, Sons of Issachar blog, which Jeremy really does a really good job in transcribing some of the random things that I say and puts them into a really nice, flowing, literal thing, which is beyond me personally, but he is right into that. So we have all the teaching that goes back to 2011 up until sort of sometime in 2012, because he's sort of actually getting further behind, but we're sort of on it. Basically, everything is transcribed as blog posts. So simple, bite-sized pieces that you can actually read what has been shared over the last couple of years or from 2011 onwards. And that's available online. Anyone can click on that, Sons of Issachar blog, and I'll show you the address for it later on. So that's that one. If I can get rid of that. Now, we also have the church website. If you're a member of the church, you have a membership area on that website. If it will open. Yep, there we go. So on there, we have the website, and there's loads of categories. Here, there's a membership area. In that membership area, again, there is all the audio teaching and all the PDFs of everything that we've done since 2011 and onwards that you can actually go back and listen to. You can actually go and watch. If this works, this should actually take you in to show you where it is. There we go. So in there, you'll find all the teaching series. If you click on the teaching series, it will just take you where you can download it or listen to it as a podcast online, which is, again, another resource. This is another website that we run, which is the Freedom Apostolic Resources website. And this has just been completely revamped. And again, on there, there's all the resources, links to the blog, links to the YouTube videos, and information about different things that we're doing. So again, another resource, more specifically on media and resources. So there are all the diagrams and things that we've done on there, plus links to everything we need to do. And the last one is our YouTube channel. And in the YouTube channel, basically there are a whole load of mentoring sessions that I've done online with people. There are 230 odd at the minute. Valtrout has very kindly also created MP3s of them all, so they're all available to listen to as well as watch. And on there are playlists of different subjects, the most popular ones, and just basically all the ones that are recent uploads, so you can find out things. There are probably about 10 or 11 different groups of people that I put up on there that I mentor. So all that is actually available for everybody to listen to watch. So if you're, well, I don't know where all this comes from, I don't know where we are and all this, because you might come in and you can't, we can't obviously repeat 3, 4, 5 years of teaching. I'm going back over the basics in this series, but the background to all that is all there online. So please make that something that you can use as a resource, which is all available there for you and everyone who's also listening online as well. And so there are the actual links to those different websites and different resources that we've got. That's a really nice picture that I use in quite a lot of mentoring sessions of the lion in heaven with the thunder and lightning of God around him, pouring out the waterfall down on us, pouring out revelation from heaven over us because we have an open heaven. Now, in light of that, about a year ago, God started to challenge me to be more proactive in giving away what the revelation that we've received here. And I, to be honest, resisted that for several months. Because I just couldn't see how I could manage to do more than I was doing already. Practically, in terms of commitment and everything else. But in my heart, I know that we're called to be an apostolic resource. That means we have to be able to engage people and give people away, give away to people what we... power. So in the end, I give in when God twisted my arm one day and said, this is what I called you to do. If you're not going to do it, I'll give it to someone else. So it was like, okay, God, I'll give in. And so I took one step of faith. And I knew this had implications, which is why I was sort of holding back. Because being an apostolic resource, you have to be available. And you have to make things available. And so in August last year, I took a small step of obedience, and what I did, I shared what God had told me with a group of 17 people. And those people I had in a private forum called Preparing for Destiny. Val Trout was one of them who was in that forum. And all I did was say, God's told me to be proactive. I want to reach out. If you want to engage and interact, then let me know. And God said he would begin to open doors. And he has opened a lot of doors since then. So that forum itself has gone from 17 to 165 members. Now, it's fairly inactive now because people have got access to me online. So it's, but it's a really good resource for information about questions people ask. There's about 300 different questions on there that people ask that I answered. Because that was what I did. I was reactive. People asked a question, I answered it. But I wasn't proactive. And that's what changed. Then I discovered something called Google Plus Hangouts, where you can actually talk to people other parts of the world and record what you say, which was very useful as a reference. And so I was asked, as a result of sending out this invitation to get more involved, set 5 people asked me to personally connect with them online and mentor them, Val Trout being one, and another friend of hers in Germany, and the rest of them were in the States and in Canada, actually. Now, since I've done that, I now have a Google Plus account and there are over 1,000 followers who follow the things that I post. And all I post is just stuff that God says, basically, and links to the teaching and things like that. But people follow it. And then in October, I actually felt, well, everyone I'm contacting with is not in this country. So, and I felt God say, well, give an opportunity for people here to engage. And so I just emailed out to a few people I know, and about 10 people said, oh, yeah, we would like to do a hangout with you and a mentoring session. And technically, it was a total disaster because only 2 people managed to get in on the call. So I thought, oh, well, I'll just share my testimony then. So I shared my testimony of my journey to see in the realms of the spirit, and those that didn't get in, they said, well, can you post it online so that they can actually look at it? And then I did that. And then some few of them emailed me back and said, well, can you just make it public so anyone can see it? Because we think this is really good. And that really was the whole beginning of the YouTube mentoring videos and the channel. See, God, once you step in obedience, God opens the doors, even when you don't know what he's doing. He's doing something, preparing things behind the scenes for you to walk through. And so now that video is at about 3,000 odd views. And now I now mentor about 16 different groups of people in Europe, in USA and Canada at the moment. And that YouTube channel now has 700 subscribers. People basically just get notifications of when we post something new. And usually I post between 6 and 7 different mentoring sessions a week. Now, when I set out on this, I didn't know how I could actually engage with 6 or 7 groups of people every week. And those are just the ones I post. There's several others that are more personal and I don't actually post the actual things. So now they've got 230 mentoring videos, which have had 56,800 plus views. That equates to, and Google are very good in giving you analytics, as they call them, which is information, 797,000 minutes, which is 13,283 hours. So I've been able to engage with people around the world for 13,000 hours since October. Now, that is what God can do when you take a step of obedience, even though you don't know what he's asking you to do, really. But if you're willing to follow him, he can open up those doors, which has meant not having to leave here. Although I'm in my office quite a lot in front of the camera, but actually I can engage with people all over the world and just release and bless with the resources and the revelation that God's given us here. You know, so we're all part of that, you know. Now, that's, again, the blog. That's the history of the blog. Now we've had 137 views of that blog. And you can see what happened from October 2012, when I basically began to engage with people around the world, how that has shot up in terms of the numbers of people who are actually listening, watching, reading. Those are just the ones who read the blog. But they're interacting, and there's been 1,209 comments left. A high proportion of that are from Mick, who's very faithful in reading the blog. but actually lots of comments, and do you know how many negative comments there have been? About 2. And those were just questions, not understanding where it came from, not what things I was saying. So God's been really faithful in blessing us and in that stuff. And those people come from all over the world, mostly from the States, 71,000 views from the States. But, you know, there's a big long list of all the different countries that actually have engaged in reading that blog. Quite a number in Singapore and Hong Kong and Philippines and out that way, Malaysia. But that blog is spreading the message that God is wanting to release in this generation. So grateful to Jeremy for doing it. So in the YouTube channel, again, you can just see an increase. When it goes down a bit is usually when I'm on holiday and not posting any new things, where I was recently in May. But, you know, essentially so many people have got access to hear what God is doing and the testimonies and to engage personally. Because this is relational. It's not just a message. I'm actually talking to people and I'm seeing them face to face and we are engaging. So I'm actually answering questions and doing activation exercises and helping them step into the realms of heaven, helping them to engage with their destiny and to engage with what God has called us to do here, which is how to live in and live out the manifest presence of God, how to be free to do that. And again, all over the world, those people are engaging, again, mostly in the States, but in Canada, UK, New Zealand, South Africa, lots of people from there. And from the Macedonian Republic, which they also a lot of people, or I don't know whether it's a lot of people or just a few people, are all watching lots of them, but they are engaging there. Now, so God is opening up these opportunities for us to actually be a resource. You know, I could not have engineered this or made this happen, because I couldn't. But by being obedient, God has opened up the door. And the same will apply to everybody. When you accept what God is calling you to do in your life, and you take a step of obedience to say, yes, I'll surrender, even though sometimes it's a struggle, He takes us, and then He prepares the way to lead us on the journey that He's already agreed. You know, this was already agreed on my destiny scroll. And when I first saw my scroll of destiny, I actually saw something which related to this on it. And so it's really interesting, because you then begin to see, how does God outwork that? Now, there's a huge hunger around the world for what God is doing. The question is that hunger here? Because I wouldn't want people here to miss out and say, you know, thousands of people are sort of watching me around the world, but actually don't miss out in what God's doing here. You know, Matthew 13:57 said this, they took offense at him, it's talking about Jesus. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. So I don't want people to be in unbelief here. Really embrace what God's doing. It's like familiarity can breed contempt. It's like, it's so easy because you're sat here, I'm here every week, it's just Mike, because it's just useful. But it's not about me, it's about the message. See, God has given us a message, and we need to honor that, because He's entrusting us with it. He's entrusting us to carry it in our hearts and release it in our lives. You know, so in a sense, I don't want a whole virtual thing where people are outworking this and we aren't outworking it here on the ground. So God is calling us to make sure that we're actually able to manifest what God's doing here, and I'll be sharing some of the things that we do in that. So don't miss out on what God's planning. You know, you have all those resources available. Actually listen to them. Because I guarantee there are probably only a few people who are probably watching those mentoring videos. But thousands of people around the world are watching them. They contain a lot of information. Because I love talking to people. So I'd rather sit and answer questions and engage and sit here doing a lecture-style thing. Because there's interaction. And I love interaction, because what it does, it draws out of me things I don't know that are in there. Now, sometimes I'll say things here that I don't know, because it just starts coming out. But when people sit and talk, because it's relational, it draws from my innermost being things, and I find myself going back and listening to some of the things I've said and thinking, wow, that was really good. Where did that come from? But it's coming from the fact that I'm looking into the things of God. I'm cherishing those things in my heart, even in my spirit. Even though my mind doesn't necessarily grasp it all the time, my spirit is engaging it. And then when someone asks me a question, things tumble out of my spirit that my brain hasn't actually got any record of it yet. Now, as soon as I said it, actually, then my brain engages. And sometimes I have to go back and work out what it was that I said. But I do. And so I'd encourage you to really embrace that. What are these things Alpha Group's about? Well, I want to share something that God, again, has called me to do and called us to do, but I've been sort of holding back on it. And these groups are about equipping a Joshua generation to live a supernatural lifestyle. That is what we want to do through Freedom Apostolic Resources. And I am developing a manual, which you are actually participating in every Sunday, because it is following the course that we are on, the journey that we're going on. So it's engaging God on the heavenly pathways of relationship and responsibility, and it will be an interactive training manual. You had an example of it earlier when I clicked on the hyperlinks and it opened up links. That's what people will get, links to all the things that we've done, plus all the exercises, all the things we're doing and recording here on Sunday, as well as being able to pursue that themselves. And so I'm producing that material, and this manual was going to help people to access God in the realms of heaven and in their own spirit and heart, that relationship pathway. And so as everybody actually follows this pathway and the map that we've been given, then they will develop a deeper intimate relationship with their father. And therefore, they'll be released into sonship. And sons are co-heirs with Jesus in heavenly and earthly responsibility of manifesting the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And so the whole context of the manual and the context of what we're doing here, what we're called to do here, is to disciple people or mentor people to eventually mentor others. And so that we can raise up this Joshua generation around the world with other people to see what's coming next. And what's coming next is a whole other group of people who are yet to engage with God. Or they may be engaging God, but they don't know what their destiny is yet. So we want to be ready and prepared to live in our supernatural inheritance so that we can equip the next generation. Because what's happened in past generations is no one has passed the baton. And so there have been moves of God, amazing things. You know, I love reading the history of revival and the history of God's generals and what God has done through people who've responded to him in obedience in the past. And, you know, there are several books entitled God's Generals and different people who God has called to impact the kingdom and to impact the world, some of them. You know, and some of the impact is still going on in the world today as a result of obedience to things in the past. But none of those things got really passed on. Some of those things created denominations and became fixed and rigid and religious, unfortunately. But God wants us to receive from him and then pass to the next generation so the next generation can then take it on further and go higher and go deeper and go further into what God's got. And that next generation will be the harvest generation. They will be a harvest, part of the harvest that's coming. So we're going to start from the beginning, and that's what we're doing at the minute. We've done journey preparation, and now we're at the base camp. And so it's about training our spirits to see, hear, and experience God. And then that will help guide people into those levels of intimacy and also engage responsibility so that we can rule from heaven. Because that's where God has called us to rule. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So we need to engage in the as it is in heaven and establish as it is in heaven so that we can begin to rule. And God uses pictures and symbols because his home in the realms of heaven itself is a mountain, the Mount Zion, mountain of God. And therefore, we are like mountains to rule. And the church has mountains, we have church mountains, and therefore we learn to rule in those places of authority and use the judicial system of heaven. Because heaven is a governmental system. That's what it is. Operating out of love and out of righteousness, bringing justice to bring transformation so that the world lines up with what heaven is. So we're going to follow that pathway, and people who are following the manual will be able to follow that pathway to begin to engage in each person's individual scroll. Now, when you talk about a scroll, I'm talking about Psalm 139, the things that was written about me all the days of my life, written before the foundation of the world. Everything that God has in his heart as purpose for me to do. And I can engage in that. And I can find out what's on it. Now, that doesn't mean it's easy sometimes to say yes, as I've already said. But actually, when you do, you know that you're in the right place. You know you're in the flow of God's river of life. You know the resources are available in relationship. And God wants us to know what he's called us to do. He wants us to know who we are as his sons and children. Eventually, this manual is going to form the basis of the material we'll use in raising up and discipling this Joshua generation of mentors. And we are going to establish an online supernatural academy in which we train people and equip people to train and equip others so that we can spread this all over the world. Because if we're going to actually see a 20% of the world population harvest, which is a billion or more, how many mentors is it going to take to engage a billion people? A few. Now, I'm not certainly going to be able to do it all, so I'm looking for us to equip more and more people who will be able to engage more and more people. You can only mentor people in what you're living. This is not theory. That's why it's interactive and practical that we learn how to engage actually experientially And so we can live out those experiences and pass those experiences as our testimonies, because they become our testimonies that we can engage other people with. So at the moment, I'm recruiting some volunteers who are going to be willing to participate in these alpha test groups, and they're going to test the material out as it's released and follow the journey. And hopefully they will at sometime during that journey find other people that they can begin to engage, and we will administrate that process. And this is going to involve fortnightly mentoring feedback sessions, and it will require their commitment, investing time to developing this with me and going forward. You are part of that, because you're going to get the first look at all the material and the first engagement with the exercises and all the fun that we can have by engaging in heaven here. So you'll get it first, and then people are going to follow on really quickly. Now, again, you know, God has a lot of names, you know, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider, and you know, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, lots of different names. I found another one for him, Jehovah Sneaky, because he gets you to do something and say yes, and then once you've said yes, all of a sudden it's like, you thought you were saying yes to this, and then you're saying yes to this. And so I was saying yes to connecting up with a couple of groups, maybe fitting into my existing schedule, and therefore just being able to test drive this material. Well, I've sort of got about 150 applications that have gone out, and I've had about 100 odd come back in, and I've set the deadline for the Tuesday, the 1st of July. Can't take any more applications. So there's a whole load you keep asking for applications. So basically, this is going to reshape everything I do and what we do in terms of sending this stuff out and developing and preparing people to engage, which is really, really exciting. And it's a real great opportunity, but also it's a great responsibility. And so that's why we really want to see everything worked out here. It's not for experts. God is not looking for professionals and experts in the old way of doing things. He's looking for amateurs in the new. People who are willing to say, I haven't got a clue, but I know God's taking me on a journey, and I'm willing to learn. You know, and the people who are applying, some of them are church leaders, some of them are people who run ministries, as well as lots of individual people who are not connecting with church, as some who are, they're just desperately hungry to engage in what God's doing, to raise up this Joshua generation, a new order of Melchizedek that he's releasing on the earth. So we're going to explore this. It's an exciting adventure, which you're part of if you want to be. You know, at some stage, I'm going to need more mentors here, and we're going to need mentors here who are going to take people here through these groups. So you're all invited to be part of this journey and to participate in it and to engage in it, so that we can all learn how to do things God's saying. You know, around the world, there's a new expression of church which is rising up, and I'm going to call it ecclesia, which is the Greek word for what Jesus said he was going to build. He was going to build his ecclesia. And that meant people gathered together for a purpose. It didn't mean a building. It didn't mean a whole lot of meetings. It meant people who were together, gathered for a purpose. And actually, now we can gather with people all over the world. Those of you who are doing live busting and doing circles with live busting, you know, you're connecting up with people all over the place, because people are rising up and they're beginning to be gathered around what God is calling in these days. So we can pass that on to those people, which is great. Now, I want to share now some of the process that we go through in administrating these things in heaven, because then we're going to release something that God has called us to release today. God is looking for a pattern of heaven on earth, something he can recognize. Now, that might be you as an individual, because he's looking at something that sees him on the throne, because that's what he is in heaven, on the throne. So he's looking for that, and we can have him on the throne of our lives, and he will recognize that, and he will begin to come and presence himself with us. But he desires to manifest his glory in people and in groups of people who look like what heaven looks like. And so God is kingdom is expanding. His governmental rule is increasing. Isaiah chapter 9, it says, there will be no end to the increase of his government, to his rule, to his kingdom, to him manifesting his glory. And eventually it says, the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. It will fill the earth. So God is looking for that pattern. Now here we're looking to establish that pattern in how we do things and how we govern and how we bring kingdom from heaven to earth. And so we're looking to pattern that after a heavenly apostolic pattern, which is three on the throne, which is Father, Son, and Spirit in heaven, four living creatures in front of the throne, seven spirits of God, and two sets of 12 elders. So we're looking to see how we do things the same way God does things in heaven. Now, last year, around this time, probably in July, Mike Bryant, who's a good friend of ours, who was here during the revival meetings and has given us prophetic revelation, in fact, prophesied and gave me a prophecy that called me up into heaven in the first place. He stepped into heaven in our meeting when he showed up unexpectedly one Sunday morning and saw a black book in the hands of angels. And this black book was ready to be opened. There were some things that needed to be done before that, which we've done. And so we've begun to open that black book. And we've seen several pages in that black book. This black book, which is like a scroll, if you like, which contains revelation of the times and seasons that we're in, blueprints, strategies, things that we can see that God wants us to impart. Now, we went into heaven as a bench of three, as the three of us engaged in heaven. So we step onto our thrones in heaven, and we begin to look at this black book, ask the angel to come and bring it, open it up. We did that week before last. Now, when we do that, we come from three gift perspectives. A kingly gift, prophetic gift, apostolic gift. So we see things from those perspectives. And we see different things that gives us a jigsaw. And we share what we've seen. And we then pull it together into the things that God's placed in our heart and dreams and pictures God's given us recently. And we can see a pattern. So we did that. And what we saw, I'll share briefly some of the things we saw. Two scrolls of fire. And that was an invitation to accept the responsibility to participate in those two scrolls. One scroll was about the billionfold harvest. That was first prophesied, well, I said I've put 25 years ago. That's when I thought it was prophesied, but actually it was 1975. So next year, there will be a whole generation that's gone since that word was prophesied. Now, I think that is really significant, because I believe in 2015, we're going to start to get to cross over. The old generation, 40 years, have been going round and round and round in the wilderness with opportunities to embrace the call to cross over into their inheritance. We're also called to participate in the Joshua generation, this order of Melchizedek, who will equip that harvest. And the other thing we saw is the equipping track, which I'll show a picture of in a minute, which is the revelation that God's given us of how we can equip people from the very beginning all the way through to fulfilling their destiny. So we agreed this. We felt, yes, this is something we've seen together in heaven. This is on this page of this book. We're in agreement. But what do you do then? Well, we need earthly agreement with what has been seen in heaven. So we have a council of 12. There are only 11 of us actually at the minute, so there's a vacancy for one more. But there's 12 of us who meet as a council, who take what God is showing us out of heaven, and we look to bring agreement. And so these are the scrolls, and this is what I did in the meeting. I printed out a picture of the scroll and placed it on the table. So there were two scrolls, one for the Joshua generation responsibility, one for the billionfold harvest of harvesters responsibility. Put them on the table, along with the equipping track. Now, on the equipping track, that area there, that little dot, and the manuals, that Encountering God manual, is probably step five on that equipping track. So the things I'm doing are to equip people who have the basics in place. Basics means salvation and having experienced God in salvation. And all that means in personal encounter with God, not just a theoretical prayer, but actually meeting with God and opening that realm of engaging with Him. Baptism in the water, baptism in the Spirit, baptism into the heavenly realms, which is into Father, Son, and Spirit. Now, we need that equipping in place, because I'm equipping to go on from that point. So we need people who are willing to embrace equipping from that place. On the other rail of the equipping, we have ministry, where it includes lie busting and praying for people and ministering to people and other things in place. So we, again, put that on the table. Are we willing to embrace this by taking it into our hearts? And that's what we do. So we saw all this. We came into earthly agreement, and then we stepped in all together into the ark of God's presence, which we sing a lot about, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, four faces of God around His presence, where the Holy of Holies in the heavenly tabernacle. And we took those scrolls into our hearts. We opened up our hearts to take responsibility for what God showed us. And in doing that, we were looking then for God to release a mandate or an authorization for what we needed to do individually as our part in those places. So when we meet in this way, we're not meeting and having a chat and seeing what we think. We're stepping into heaven, finding out what God thinks, and then looking to establish that. Now, Becky, I think it was last Sunday, or the Sunday before, had this during the worship here. She said, during the worship, I saw a window open from heaven and angels dropped down. They gave me a new shield and sword made of titanium. She needs that for where she was going. It was burnished and had the colors of the rainbow in it. Jesus appeared and called me to the dark places with him, where we've been before. This time, we went into the trophy room and I saw a section that had the name Freedom Church over it. Jesus took something off the shelf and gave it to me. It was the evangelistic heart of Freedom Church, which had been stolen quite a while ago. So I brought it back with me. So Becky, who sat there, actually contains and has within her that heart of something which was stolen. And she's going to give it out to those who want it today. So what we did then is to enable her to be able to do that, we had to see why was it stolen, why was it robbed, and why did the enemy have the power to do that? So again, we step back into heaven to the mobile court of accusation, which you can convene anytime you want to. Father shows up on his mobile throne. Jesus, the advocate, is there. We get lovely robes of righteousness because we're the righteousness of God in Christ. And we can hear from our adversary, whether it's the devil or familiar spirits or other things that have been assigned, what the accusations are against us. So that's what we did. And I wrote down all the accusations on the sheet of A4 paper, and there was loads of them. And so we accepted the accusations, stood under the judgment of God, repented and renounced of the things that we'd done, and received God's judgment. And guess what he finds everyone who stands before him? Not guilty. Innocent, in fact. So we stood there, and then we received a paper, separation papers, to be separated from whatever the enemy's right was to rob us. So having dealt with those accusations, now we can release that which God has given us. So Becky's going to do that today. So she's going to release an evangelistic heart, which is about the harvest that's coming. Now, I want to give you just a context for that before we then go and do it. Genesis 1:28. God blessed them. That was Adam and Eve. This was his plan for mankind. He blessed them, so he empowered them to succeed. And God said to them, be fruitful. That means that they were going to have fruit in what he was asking them to do, and to multiply, so to share that and spread that out, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over it, basically. Now, of course, they messed up and took a wrong pathway, but Jesus came and restored it back. So we have the capacity today to fulfill this mandate, this authorization from God to be fruitful and to multiply and fill the earth. Now, at that point, they had access into heaven, because heaven and earth overlapped in the garden of God. Eden overlapped their garden, and they walked in each other's gardens in the walk of the day, because God walked there. They saw what heaven was like, and their responsibility was to terraform the rest of the earth into heaven. Or should that be heaven form? I'm not sure. But to change and bring heaven so that heaven was manifested on earth. So everything you find in heaven will have an earthly outworking. That was their call. Now, God just didn't give up when they messed up. He decided he was going to call a guy called Abraham. So in Genesis 12:2, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Again, empowered him to be a blessing to others. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So again, here is the commission to take this blessing out to all the families of the earth. And then when Jesus comes along and defeats Satan, defeats sin, opens up the realm of us engaging God again, Matthew 28:18, so just before he's going to go back into heaven and release the Holy Spirit to come, he says this: Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority. Now, how much authority is all? All. So is there any authority outside of that?
No.
Okay. Has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So that authority is heavenly authority and earthly authority. Therefore, it says, go therefore and make disciples. So he is giving us, carrying the authority in heaven on earth, together, the power, the blessing, the empowerment to go out into the world and to make disciples, baptizing them into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we'll learn what it is to be baptized into the Father, into the Son, and into the Spirit, because we step into them, which is a good place to be. Teaching them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. So with us, even to the very end of the age, when he returns, he's with us and carries with us that authority, and he gives us that authority as joint heirs with him. So we can carry the same authority that he does. But to do that, you need to understand that you are a royal priesthood, that you've been called and chosen and appointed for a time such as this, knowing who you are, and then outworking the destiny that he has for you in this day. Romans 8:21, it says that creation itself will also be set free. This is not just about people. This is about the whole of creation, the created order, spiritual and physical, will be set free from its slavery to corruption into what? Into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Into what Adam and Eve would have had if they hadn't have sinned. Into the fullness of being transformed into the image of Jesus and manifesting that. Transformation is not just spiritual. It is going to become more physical, so that we will begin to radiate the glory that Adam and Eve radiated before they've sinned. And just to let you know that Jesus is not going to come back until we've done this. Acts 3:20. That he may send Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of the restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. So whatever God has spoken from the beginning of creation will be restored and Jesus won't come back until it's restored. And he says the same thing in 1 Corinthians 5:15-24. The end comes when he hands over the kingdom to God and Father, to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and authority and power. So every other thing will be completely coming under the authority of Jesus, for he must reign until he puts all enemies under his feet. Now, it says in the Bible, he is the head. So who are the feet, do you think? Who's his body here on earth? Us. So he is going to put everything under our feet. So if we're standing in the heavens, in the realms of heaven, what's under our feet? Everything below that. That's why we need to know where we're standing in the realms of heaven, so we can then outwork that ministry on earth. And this is what it says on in that chapter, 1 Corinthians 15:49. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly. Now looking around, you all bear the image of the earthly, because I can see your physical bodies. Now if I turn on my spiritual imagery and eyes, I can also see what you look like in the realm of the spirit. So I can look around and see the angelic realm around you and the colors that you're giving off in the realm of the spirit and the tongues of fire that are over you and the flame that's in you. And I can see really bright flames and I can see some that aren't so bright, and I can see some really bright colors and I can see some that aren't so bright. And I'm not going to tell you what I can see because that's my business. But the reality is, it then goes on to say, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. So just as you're here in a physical body, it says you will bear the image of the heavenly, which is a manifestation of the glory of God, which you can see in Jesus when he went to the mountaintop, the symbol of authority, and from there, what happened? He was transfigured. He shone and radiated light glory. That is what's our destiny, to radiate the glory of God as Adam and Eve did before the fall, because they were beings of light around them before they fell. So that is what the context of what we're going to do today. So we're called to participate in this 20% of the population becoming followers of Jesus. We're called to be part of the Joshua generation who will mentor that harvest. If you are willing to accept that commission, then you need the heart of God. And you need the thing that was robbed from us to be restored to us in fullness. That means passion for God, passion for reconciliation for the world, passion for restoration of the world, passion for the poor in spirit, the lost, brokenhearted, captives, those in prisons, the spiritually sick and blind, and for those who are in debt and poverty on the end of that, spiritually, physically, in every way. Because God, in Isaiah 61, has said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us to proclaim and live out this stuff. Amen? Amen? So, we're going to take the opportunity of those. I want you to just quietly, just meditate on this a second. Are you willing to embrace those scrolls? Are you willing to embrace and receive God's heart for the world, the people in it, your street, your neighbors, the people you work next to, all those people who are part of the harvest that God is going to bring in, and the responsibility for equipping them and passing on what you've learned? If you are, then Becky will come and she will administer and give out that which God gave her, which is the heart for that, all that I've shared. Now you might think, well, I've got some of that heart. Great. If you want more, because he hasn't stolen everything from everybody, but in principle, he's hindered us in seeing a manifestation of what God is calling us to do. So if you're wanting that, then I would encourage you to respond to Becky coming forward and doing what she's now going to do.